Hello and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show. Coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guests are author, founder of the Ignite Network, and apostolic prophetic teacher, Jennifer LeClaire. Also, pastor of Morningside Church, Pastor Joe Campbell. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall and Mondo De La Vega. And now, live from Gray Street at Morningside USA, here's your host, Ricky Baker.
Hello, you're watching Jim Baker's PTL Television Network. It is an exciting day. This is the day that the Lord has made for you, believer. The Lord woke you up this morning. There is a divine purpose on your life. You know, some days we can wake up and feel like, man, I do not know what today is going to hold. And I'll tell you right now, friend, sometimes that's okay. We just have to let the Holy Spirit guide us throughout this world. Mondo, we are seeing that the Holy Spirit's prompting in this world is vital. You have to have an intimate relationship with Him.
You know, I talk about that in my book. In the last interviews, I have talked about the power of having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not when things are going bad. But when things are going good, can you still listen to God's voice? A lot of times we want to focus, oh, when the crisis is happening. No. What about when things are going great, when your business is blooming, when the ministry is blooming, when everything's going great, are you still able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. That's right.
Because sometimes when you think you're going right, He wants you to go left.
Yeah. That's right.
What do I mean by that? I was at the highest of my evangelistic ministry back in the 90s, speaking all over the world. Things are going great for what men and women call success. Everything was going great. Yet the Holy Spirit, Ricky, called me to go in the side room and listen to His voice. And He said, I want an intimate relationship with you.
Yes.
I want you to say no to all the speaking engagements. I want you to say no to book deals, television deals. This is at the highest thing. But the key was, am I able to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in the midst of success? And I want you to know, one of the keys was to understand what Pastor Jim Baker, your friend, taught me earlier on. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget. I'll never stop talking about what God did through our dad.
Yes.
Because I want to tell you something. If you want to learn about the Holy Spirit, you got to get under discipleship, under mentorship, and understand.
That's good.
I hear you preaching over there. Come on, preacher.
You're
I
want
to tell you something. Listen to your mentors, to your disciplers. That was one of the key things, Ricky, that I understood earlier on in ministry is understand how to hear the Holy Spirit's voice in the midst, even in your success.
That's right. Yeah, you know, we were having this conversation the other day, and I want to encourage you and let you know that authority is a beautiful thing. We fall under the authority of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We don't have authority by our own power because, believer, when it comes to you and I, we are merely nothing. We are given authority by Jesus Christ, and that's why we're able to walk out in authority. It's why demons are able to be cast out. That's why we see healings happen. Why? Because we have the authority given to us by Jesus Christ. So, believer, I want to let you know, authority is a vital and important thing. You know, Pastor, I always say we need to be weary whenever someone says, well, I can't come under any authority. You know, the Lord has given me a word. I can't come under anybody. I say, hey, brother, we have to reevaluate that. Everybody's under somebody.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the biggest cautions that I have as a pastor working with people is whenever people tell me, well, God's my authority and they have no other authority. That really is a check.
Uh-oh.
You know, it's kind of like, wait a minute, I'm going to back
red
up.
Light.
Yeah, red light, because, you know, people need to realize that we need to be submitted to one another.
Yeah.
And if we're not submitted to one another, then, you know, God can't use you in the capacity that He wants to use you in.
Amen.
And the truth is, there's nothing wrong with humility.
Come
you
on.
Humble yourself, submit yourself to authority, and work under that authority and let God use you.
This is so powerful because, again, it makes me think of reminiscing of 26 years ago when I met Dad, your friend. Again, I want to remind you, Pastor Jim Baker. How do you know someone is mature spiritually is when they can get underneath of a pastor, even though they have a calling themselves. Here you got a man that has mature in the word. He, you know, build ministries and build, you know, the networks and all that. Yet he submitted himself under a 24-year-old pastor, talking about Pastor Matthew Barnett and his obedience. And that I knew right away, I want to be next to that man.
Wow. That's right.
A man that can submit under a 24-year-old pastor in the vision, not division, but under the vision of what the ministry was headed at that moment. Yes. But Pastor Jim, our father,
that's right,
a great example to say no one's greater than other.
Yeah. That's right.
You have to submit under the authority and leadership that you're working under. And I see a lot of young ministers and a lot of people in the church. Oh, boy, the church is in trouble right now because the church wants to do their own thing. Yet God works not in chaos, but in order.
Well, you know what the enemy loves? He loves your ego. He loves your pride. He loves that, you know, he thinks he can get your flesh to be pompous, where it says, you know, a man or a woman may come and say, hey, well, I need you to execute these tasks in the church. And you say, well, I'm better than that. I don't need to be sweeping. I don't need to be taking out the trash. I don't need to be doing X, Y, and Z. But believer, I'm going to tell you right now, as a leader in the church, and if you're watching this right now and you're either a pastor or you want to be a pastor, a leader, any type of authority in your church, never be afraid to take out the trash.
Come on.
Never be afraid to pick up the broom and sweep. Never be afraid to do the things where you think, hey, I'm going to tell you right now, and if your brain tells you, hey, I'm above that, then you need to be doing it more often. I'll tell you right now.
Man,
if your brain tells you, hey, above my, you know, below my pay grade, then you need to be doing it as often as you possibly can. Believer, it is important to submit yourself to the authority of Jesus Christ. That is exactly the message we are trying to drive home today. And if you're saying, hey, you know what? I am living a lifestyle where I'm not submitting every aspect of my life to the Holy Spirit. There's never been a moment, better moment than right now to start submitting yourself in every facet to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, one way that I believe that we truly do that, we show honor back to God and we show submission to God is when we do communion, Pastor, because we're taking his flesh, we're taking his blood, these symbolisms, and we're saying, you know what? I am putting myself under the authority of the body that was broken for me. I'm putting myself under the authority of the blood that was shed for me. And believer, we're going to take communion on today's broadcast. So if you're at home, and you have some, you know, come on, if you have some grape juice and some bread, if you have some water and a piece of stale toast,
that's right.
You know, anything you can do, it's symbolism.
Yep.
You know, I've seen churches where they, hey, we don't have any grape juice, but we have water.
Amen.
But you know what? It is the idea behind it saying, I understand that this is a representation of Christ's blood. So believer, if you have that at home today, we're going to be taking that towards the end of the broadcast. Yes. It's important.
Perfect.
As we, as the church, submit ourselves under the will of God. You know, there's somebody that is on the broadcast today. Her name is Jennifer LeClaire. She is the senior leader of the Awakening House of Prayer in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. She's also the founder of the Ignite Network and the Awakening Prayer Hubs prayer movement. Jennifer served as the first ever female editor of Charisma Magazine. She's also a prolific author of over 50 books. And her new book is Unmasking Jezebel's Intercessor. Welcome back to this program, Jennifer LeClaire. I want to say thank you. Because I know through our personal interactions, show interactions, you are truly a person, a woman of God who submits herself to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Ricky. And you know, you're talking about authority, and Jezebel hates authority. So we have to stay submitted. You are right on spot, because when we don't submit to the Lord, we open ourselves up to all kinds of demonic influences, including the spirit of Jezebel.
Wow. That's right, the spirit of Jezebel. And Mondo, you know, we have heard the spirit of Jezebel. Pastor, you've been pastoring a lot longer than I have. The term, the spirit of Jezebel, I feel like I've heard my entire life from the age of four when Pastor Jim Baker brought me in. I've heard ministers preach on the spirit of Jezebel. To be honest with you, though, for a very long time, I didn't quite understand what that meant. I understand a piece here and a piece there, but Jennifer, your book breaks this down so eloquently that I could not walk away from it without having the fullness of the understanding of what this spirit is. So I want to thank you for writing such an amazing book on what the spirit of Jezebel is and what it looks like. I want to thank you for that.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what the Jezebel spirit is. People believe and have been taught that Jezebel is a spirit of control and manipulation. But if you look in the Bible, if you look at what Jesus said in Revelation 2:20, he said to the church at Thyatira, I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit immorality. Jezebel is a spirit of seduction, and Jezebel can't control you until she first seduces you. So this spirit is raging in the nations, and we need to be on guard and know what it is, because if we have a wrong paradigm of Jezebel, how can we defeat it?
That's right. Wow. And, you know, as a prophet, you've been known to teach others how to overcome attacks from Jezebel. So why are you so passionate about this?
Wow. You know, if you look in scripture in 2 Kings, you see that Jezebel was cutting off the voices of the prophets. Jezebel was murdering. Some translations say she was slaughtering the prophets. And this was a type. This was a woman who was under the influence of a spirit that we call Jezebel. It's really Ashtoreth. But the enemy of the prophets still today is this spirit of Jezebel. If you look at John the Baptist, you remember when Herodias, her daughter, asked Herod for John the Baptist's head on a platter. That's a picture of Jezebel once again cutting off the voice of the prophets. And, you know, there's so many prophets today that are hiding in caves. Back in scripture, you see Obadiah hid prophets in caves by 50s. And, you know, these prophets, they were ineffective because they were in a cave. So Jezebel wants to seduce you. If she can't seduce you, she'll try to kill you. And that's what we're seeing throughout some of the prophetic movement today is prophets are afraid. They're hiding in caves, or prophets are selling out and eating at Jezebel's table. And it's very, very dangerous.
Wow.
Yes.
Pastor,
boy, that is
you
powerful.
You have been pastoring for how many years now?
Probably close to 47 years.
Wow. 47 years. Yeah, so your whole known life then you've been pastoring.
Pretty much.
I think pastor's only 48 years old. So. But pastor, the spirit of Jezebel is a real spirit.
Absolutely.
You know, I believe that there are people who sadly are misconstrued, they're mistaken, and they believe that, you know, the spirit of Jezebel was something in the Old Testament. It's not an issue we have to deal with anymore. You know, spirits can't seduce people. They can't overtake people. What have you seen being a pastor of 40 plus years of the spirit of Jezebel working in the church?
It's always been there. And here's the thing about the Jezebel spirit. You know, a lot of times it isn't, like she said, it isn't exactly what you would think it to be, you know, something that's right in front of your eyes. Sometimes it's a hidden thing.
Yeah.
And it's really about the motive of what they're doing. And they're trying to silence the gospel or silence the prophets or silence the, and it's interesting that this year there's been a resurrection of the Elijah spirit.
Yes.
And so that spirit of Elijah took on the Jezebel spirit.
Yes. Amen.
And that's what God is doing today.
Amen. That's
He's
right.
He's going to release that Elijah spirit to stop the Jezebels.
Thank you.
I believe this book is probably a major key of getting the word out about the Jezebel spirit, because the truth is, if we don't know about it, we don't know how to confront it. So that is amazing that she's doing this.
If we don't know about it, we do not know how to confront it. Believer, I want to encourage you that you can go to jimbakershow.com or give us a call at 1-888-988-1588 and order this book. This is, like you said, I really believe this is a pivotal book. Get this for yourself. Get this for your pastor. Get this for a small group. Bring people into your home and say, hey, you know what? We want to expose the spirit of Jezebel to make sure that none of us are operating in it. None of us are allowing it to whisper seductions into our ear.
Amen.
So get this book. I tell you, I promise you, Unmasking Jezebel's Intercessors is going to be something that will change the way that you see your day to day. Now,
sometimes
Jennifer,
people don't even know that they're operating in that Jezebel spirit.
That's right. They don't.
They have a hidden motive, and they just operate in the way that they've always done it before. And they don't realize that there's a difference between working for God and working for the world.
That's right. There's a huge difference.
Talk about the dream that you had of you and I that looks like it, but it is not.
True.
And I think it's so cool that it matches to where we are right now.
That's right.
Can you share a little bit
about
that?
Yeah, I had a dream a few nights ago where Mondo and I were in a vehicle. We were on our way somewhere. I didn't know the final destination, but it was him and I in a car together. And every new town we went into, Pastor, I was getting pulled over by the police. And I said, well, okay.
It was because
It was because of Mondo. Yeah, that's right. They knew about his book. They were trying to get him to sign it. But every town I was getting pulled over, and I would ask the police officer every single stop, what was I doing? Was I speeding? Yeah. Do I have lights out? And every time they'd say, hey, well, we can't tell you. Here's your driver's license. You can go back on your way. And this happened consecutively about 5 or 6 times in my dream till finally, the final time, the police officer pulled me out of the vehicle, and I'm standing outside of the vehicle. I still see Mondo in it. I'm talking to him. It's this small police officer, and I say, brother, can you please tell me why you're pulling me over? goes, well, I can't do that. So I'm not speeding. My lights aren't out. My vehicle seems to be in good running condition. Can you please tell me why you're pulling me over? And he goes, well, just give me a minute. He takes my paperwork and he goes back to his cruiser and I'm standing there. And in my dream, I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, why do I keep getting pulled over? And the Holy Spirit said, the enemy will continuously try to distract you.
Whoa.
And I said, well, I'm on a journey, but if I get pulled over by a vehicle, if I get pulled over by a police vehicle, well, I can't not pull over.
Right.
And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me in a dream and said, the distraction will always look legitimate.
Wow.
And believer, that's for you. The distraction will always look legitimate.
Because the spirit of Jezebel will dress up like it's spiritual.
Wow.
I seen a lot of spiritual people come along. Mm. They sound like it. They know how to play the role well. Yet the motives behind it, the spirit behind it, it looks legitimate. It looks like you want to, you know, give them time. How much time do they steal from you?
Oh, countless. Yeah. Valuable time that you could have been pouring into other people. Jennifer, that begs the question, can you paint a picture of what real Jezebel activities look like?
Yeah, they are many. You know, a lot of these Jezebelic characters, which I say they're people that are under the influence of a Jezebel spirit, they seem super spiritual. Like they come off as seasoned, very prophetic, seeing in the spirit, and it seems very impressive. The problem is they're tapping into the wrong spirit. Jezebel wants to cozy up next to the leader of a ministry, the leader of a family, the leader in a business and a club, because the lead, here's what I've seen. Jezebel doesn't manifest in front of the leader. Jezebel doesn't show her true colors when they're in the presence of the leader. And so Jezebel serves the leader. And then when people come to the leader saying, this person has a Jezebel spirit, the leader is like, well, but they've been nothing but a blessing to me. They're helping. They're doing admin work. They're cleaning the church. They're doing whatever. And so the spirit is very sneaky. It flies under the radar of leaders. That's why if you're the leader of a family, leader of a business, a ministry in particular, you need to trust the people around you.
Amen.
That spirit wants protection. That spirit wants power. It's a power-hungry spirit. You saw that in Kings where Jezebel usurped Ahab's authority. Used his signet ring. It was illegitimate authority, which is witchcraft. Jezebel wants to be seen, wants to be in the spotlight. We had a lady in our church one time, and bless her heart, she was just hurt and wounded, and we tried to get her free from this Jezebel spirit, and she just, nothing we did was working. I mean, she said she saw herself traveling with me and prophesying in Spanish, translating all my messages, and she was always trying to get right up next to me and be seen as someone who was my right-hand person. And so they love the prestige. They want to prophesy. They want to teach. They undermine. They dominate. They're spies. They seek information. Be very careful, because these ones with the Jezebel spirit, they seek information. They want to know your pain points so they can comfort you in your affliction and draw you close to them instead of you turning to Jesus. And there's a lot more I could say, but those are the keys right there.
Wow. Come on, those are important keys to watch out. Now, I want to clarify this. The Jezebel spirit is equally as important for men as it is for women. You know, we have tended to heard this in the church, Pastor, where they say, well, it's a Jezebel spirit. It's a female spirit. Yeah. It attacks the females. No, I have seen men operate heavier in the Jezebel spirit than I have seen women operate in the Jezebel spirit.
So I got a question for her. Does a Jezebel spirit always have to have an Ahab spirit to be involved? Mm. Is that something that, you know, has to be in operation?
That's good.
Yeah, I've heard that, but I haven't always experienced that. I do believe that is often the case. But I'm very hesitant in spiritual realms to say always, because in our ministry, we've contended, because we're a house of prayer and we have a prayer movement and a prophetic ministry. And so Jezebel's very attracted to what we do, but I've never seen the spirit of Ahab operating in our ministry. But the spirit of Jezebel comes around time and time again. So I think that is often true, but perhaps not always true.
Well, the reason I said that is because there was many times that we would find the Jezebel spirit rising up in our leadership of wherever we were at. And I always repented personally I don't want to be an Ahab,
amen,
you know,
amen.
But I seem to be a victim all the time, you know, of Jezebel working in the backgrounds and stuff. And I'm like, God, if I am an Ahab, I bind that in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
Because I don't want to be a loose hole where the Jezebel spirit comes through and uses.
Wow.
And
that's
I think
that's a powerful
that we
word.
Need, as leadership, we need to be on guard ourselves.
Yes. That's right.
We
yes.
need to check ourselves
that's
all the
right.
time. Lord, is there anything that I'm doing that's out of line?
Search
and search my heart.
Yes.
Make sure that my heart is clean and open before you in every
Amen.
Way.
You know, one of the things I've realized the last 26 years is the Bible talks about it in Matthew chapter 7 that you should know them by their fruits.
Wow.
That's right.
That's good.
How do you identify the spirit, especially people that use a lot of Christian-y vocabulary? They understand how to manipulate the conversation, and they go into, oh, God. And they listen, God is not an emotional God where he moves out of emotion. He moves out of intention. His yes is yes, and his no is no. He doesn't move on a maybe. But when you start understanding the fruit of the Spirit, you start understanding how to discern the people around you.
Wow.
I want to give you an insight. In the streets, we call that intuition, mm-hmm. street smarts. Mm-hmm. You learn how to move because there's a lot of people that come in as a counterfeit gang members, and they're intruders, people that the DEA puts in process, the FBI informants and all that. So in the gang, you had to learn how to move, and you learn who's willing to die and live for the neighborhood. There's a lot of Christians that are not willing to live and die for the gospel.
Wow.
Come on.
Amen.
I want to tell you that much. How do you know? The moment you put an instruction in the hands of the person that is saying that they are what they say they are, and you say, well, do it.
That's right.
Oh, no. That's how you know the difference between a real gang member and a false gang member is they put a gun in your hand and say, shoot him. A gang member has no time to think. Either you shoot or you don't shoot.
Hmm.
The same way as a Christian. Either you're a full born-again Christian
yes.
or you're not.
That's
I
right.
want to tell you something. I've seen a lot of people come around this ministry. Oh, God has called me here. God wants me to do this. And the moment a problem comes, they flee. They're the first gossipers. That you know so-and-so. That you, No. A real Christian doesn't get rattled by any
Come
of
on.
That nonsense.
Come on.
I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen Pastor Jim come against criticism and people get nervous. I've never seen him shaken. Instead,
Amen.
The first act that he provides is humility, goes in the back room and says, God, I
yes.
need you more
Amen.
Than ever. God,
yes,
give me the wisdom. God, when everybody's talking about me. God, when everybody's walking away, when everything seems to stop, he's out there. He's in the back room asking for the Holy Spirit to guide him. He's not asking for a word from anybody. No, he's asking a word from the living God.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something. How do you know who's around you? Check them out by the fruit of the Spirit.
By the fruits, exactly.
Wow,
a lemon tree will not produce apples there. You know, an apple tree will not produce lemons. You are simply producing the fruit of which your root is connected to. And we have to be connected. I know I sound like a broken record, but I will happily sound like one. You have to have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. That is the only way that when a Jezebel spirit starts to buck up in your life, you can say, whoa, 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 I need you to take a few steps back. Now, Jennifer, you say that the Jezebel spirit is preying on intercessors around the world. Can you explain that and why?
Yes, and you know, I experienced this firsthand. I was shocked the first time it happened. We have a prayer movement called Awakening Prayer Hubs, and we're in 100 nations. And in the early days of the ministry, we had a woman who came in, and she just seemed like she was on fire. And she was volunteering for this, and I'll do that, and I'll do the other thing, and please let me help you. And it was a breath of fresh air, because when you're first building anything, you never have enough hands on deck. Well, Jezebel knows this, and so Jezebel will always look to serve in the area where nobody else is standing. So it's important to have people in the proper position, because if people aren't in their proper position, Jezebel will take up that position. And so after a while, you know, I really began to trust this woman, and she was a real blessing, and everybody loved her. She was great. And then she started really manifesting with Jezebelic tendencies. She started drawing people in the prayer movement to herself. She started using my name and saying, well, Jennifer's told me to do this, this, and this, and it was all a lie. She started trying to get inroads into other major prayer ministries by sending a photo of me with her to them, saying that, you know, I recommended her, you know, to be part of these other major prayer ministries. All of it was a lie. And this was a great concern when it came out. It was shocking. And then I started to realize there were breadcrumbs. She, anytime you told her no, she would get very hurt and begin to seem as if her feelings were hurt. That's one of the key ways that you can discern someone who's operating in a Jezebel spirit is when they come to you with their idea, their proposal, and you say no. And they'll get hurt. They'll get wounded. They'll say, you're just like the last pastor I served under. You're just like the last boss I had. And so these Jezebelic intercessors, what they're doing is they're seeking information. They don't always know they're doing it. Many of them, remember, they're hurt and wounded, but they're seeking information, and they'll actually pray against you. They'll actually pray what I call witchcraft prayers. Witchcraft prayers are prayers that are out of the will of God. They are based on man's desires, often ill-informed or nefarious desires. And we had to actually confront her and ask her to leave the movement. It was the first time we'd ever have to do that. And when we asked her to leave the movement, she went on a rampage and made up all these lies about me and some of the other leaders and just tried to tear down what God had built. And so once I saw that, we had to put other protocols and programs in place to make sure that we didn't let that happen again. And over the last 7 years, we've probably seen it three times because we know what to look for. And anytime you have a prayer ministry or prophetic ministry, you're going to find the spirit trying to get in. It's just the way it works.
Wow. So what happens if Jezebel has so much of a toehold on ministries, churches, prayer ministries? What are we to do? Do we address it directly?
Well, the first thing we do is pray. And we have to remember, we always have to remember that we must separate the principality from the personality. We must remember that this is a human being. This is a soul that God loves. This is someone who's probably been very hurt, very wounded. Many times they don't know what they're doing. They just want to be accepted. They've been rejected. So you have to speak the truth in love. You have to go to them and say, you know, I've seen some things recently that seem out of character for you. And are you okay? Is there anything I can do? Do you need prayer? And sometimes that'll cause them to open up and say, well, when you rejected my idea, I felt rejected. And that can actually open the door for them to receive ministry, inner healing, deliverance, whatever they need. But there comes a time, like with the woman that was in our church who wanted to travel with me in ministry, we had confronted this with her five or six times. We had tried to get her healed. We tried to get her delivered, and she just kept on. There came a day when I had to drive up to the church on a Saturday and meet her face to face as the leader of our church and say, listen, I am so sorry. I'm going to have to ask you to leave this church. And I've only ever had to do that one time, but we had no choice. She was collecting the different numbers of different women in the church. She was holding midnight prayer calls that we didn't know about. She was doing deliverance on our members that we didn't know about. And she was essentially telling everybody in the church that I didn't care about them and that she was really their pastor. And she had usurped my authority under my nose. Of course, I was traveling the nations, but she usurped my authority to such a degree. And we tried for so long to help her that we finally just had to say, I'm sorry, we're not able to bring you into freedom. Please find a place where you can go get free. And she said, I agree. And she just left with no drama. It was amazing.
Wow. You know, wow. You know, there's a scripture that talks about if your right hand offends you, yeah, cut it off, or the eye or whatever. And a lot of people don't realize that that's talking about the body of Christ. It's not talking about a physical body, you know, pluck your eye out. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if there's somebody in your church that's destroying the body of Christ, remove them.
Right.
And so what she did was exactly what she should have done by removing her, getting her out of that position of authority and taking her aside. It changes the dynamics of everything.
That's really important.
Yeah.
Unmasking Jezebel's Intercessors. Yes, Marcel, this is a vital book. Why? Because if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if you love the Holy Spirit, if you love Jesus, the Jezebel spirit will always try to come and seduce you. Yes. This book is vital
for today.
That's right,
Ricky. And it is available. You can call, of course, our toll-free number. It's 1-888-988-1588. Remember, this is a partnership with Destiny Image and Harrison House. So if you go to the website through our affiliate program, Destiny Image, you can order the book. We will be working with the team there to put a single book offer, a three-book offer, or you can order a 13, which is our Baker's Dozen. I believe that this is critical. I want to speak. We're halfway through this show, but what I sat here sitting, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. And he said, for everyone who's watching, listen, you're hearing right now, this is important. What Jennifer is here to release to you, it's for you. It's for many, actually, who are watching. Many believers, even seasoned believers that are watching. But the Lord dropped a word in my spirit. He said, ask the people. Say this one thing, Lord, as I watch this show, as I have tuned into this show, Lord, will you convict my heart, God?
Amen.
Convict me, Lord.
Yes.
A conviction from the Lord. If there's anything, Jesus, it looks like this, God, if there's anything inside of me that is not pleasing, that does not align with your purpose and your will for my life, Lord, will you reveal it to me that I may be able to come with repentance to the cross. So as you're watching right now, that's the word. You're sitting there in your living room, in your bedroom. You have family over. Listen, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, will you convict me? Will you show me? Has there been any area in my life where I have unknowingly or knowingly allowed the Jezebel spirit to utilize me? And I want you to be encouraged because you know what he said? He said, anyone who prays that, the Lord just dropped it in my spirit. He said, they will be set free. For those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be set free. So today's about freedom. Today's about coming unto the salvation, the fullness of Jesus. So as you're watching this right now, order this book. It's going to help you. It's going to be the tool. But most importantly, the greatest thing you could ever do is open your heart, say, Holy Spirit, convict me, and now wait and hear and be prepared for that releasing of that freedom.
For the freedom. That's right. You know, Pastor, I had an experience as a young man where I had done something and I essentially was sitting there waiting. And I was like, okay, I'm waiting for a wave of conviction to hit me because I had done it. I realized, oh, what I had done is wrong. Waiting for a wave of conviction to hit me and it didn't come. I remember sitting there in a stagnant room feeling nothing.
Right.
And I began to weep. And I said, Lord, don't let my heart get hard. Lord, please don't let my heart get hard. Please convict me to the point where I was legitimately begging for conviction. No, please still correct me in all of my life.
Amen.
Please still search my heart. Believer, Marcel, that's a word from the Lord.
Amen.
Believer, don't allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit to leave because of your hard heart.
Yes.
Allow your heart to be softened towards the Holy Spirit, to be soft towards the cross, to be soft towards Jesus Christ. It is vital today that we allow conviction in our lives, isn't
Absolutely.
It, Pastor?
Absolutely. You know, and every year we do one service a night at camp on the healing of the heart. And so many times people don't even, they're like, well, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm this, that, and the other. But they don't realize that if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to heal the heart of the, you know, the things that you've calloused over, or you've put on the side and you've weighed your way through and you've done it in yourself, but God needs to do a healing in your heart. And if he does not, then when the hard times come or the pressure comes and those things that Jennifer was talking about, those people that have been injured and hurt from past churches or past leaderships and things like that, all of a sudden it comes out and they're ministering from a bleeding heart.
Yeah. That's right.
And you can't minister effectively with a bleeding heart. Yeah. You need God to do the healing of the heart. And that is so good, what you said, Monticello.
That is a
because
good
I tell you, we need to repent.
Yeah. You know, there's some non-negotiables with God. That's one of the things, conviction. And sometimes you think of all the people, but what happens when it's you?
That's it.
When the offers come to you and you're trying to, and listen, God will always test you. I've been tested so many times the last 26 years in so many areas that looked like God, that were trying to get my attention to go this way, but the ministry it needed me here. I want to give you my personal experience. I remember getting offers to go out and speak and go here and all there while the ministry was going through some hard times here. And I went and I asked Pastor Jim, hey, Dad, so-and-so is asking me to go preach at their conference and all this. And he said, no, I can't. I don't need you to go there. I need you here at home. The ministry needs you right now. We got to be a one team. We got to be in unity. You know what my spirit said? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. I didn't get hurt by it. I didn't get rejected by it. I didn't, you know. I want you to know something. Conviction is the key to letting the fruit of the Spirit grow in your life. Because when it's not about your agenda, it's about God's agenda and understanding what does God need you to be. We've had so many people that work here that got upset because we said no to their ideas. And they got mad and they quit and they went somewhere else. And because it had nothing to do. It's just that in God's alignment, the conviction of God, where do you need me? God, it's not about me talking all the time. It's not about me. No, it's about being in humility and understanding that the way you disarm Jezebel is humility, is having that conviction in the soul, in your heart, surrendering those areas that God is not going to negotiate with you I think that's the key.
It is a key. Wow. That's right. Key. You know, we spoke the other day about the pruning. You know, it's a vital thing, especially as believers. Sometimes it's painful because what happens when you get to a point in your life, believer, and I'm talking to you watching this screen right now. What happens when you get to a point where you say, hey, my finances are set in place. I'm in the position that I've wanted for my job. My family's happy. I'm in the home that I wanted. I'm driving the car that I wanted. And the Lord begins to prune things from you.
Wow.
The Lord begins to say, well, give this away. We'll take a portion of your finances and give it over here. You know, shift this over here. And you start to say, well, Lord, I've built this place where I am finally comfortable. And the Lord says, hey, it's time to begin the pruning. You may be at your fullness potential. We were talking about a tomato plant. Nana loves her garden. We're talking about a tomato plant Nana had. And she said this was beautiful and producing so many fruit. I know tomato's not a fruit, but it's producing so much fruit. And then she realized, oh my goodness, in order for the primary stock to stay alive, I must cut off the excess.
Wow.
Sometimes I'm telling you, believer, it is a hard thing to do, but the Lord will honor it. Amen. The Lord will never have you just remove something for the sake of removing it. God's not like that. I stand by a principle of one of my faiths that God is good and only does good, is only capable of doing good. We have to trust that if he's saying prune it, if he's saying throw it away, if he's saying get rid of it, that it's going to be for our good, believer. We are truly living in the end times. I absolutely believe that. Pastor Jim Baker has been a watchman on the wall. He has seen a far distance out. The Lord has shown him time after time activities that will happen, and they have come to pass. He is truly a prophet. Why? Because his prophecies come true. The Lord speaks to him. Now, Jennifer, I believe we're living in the end times, but I believe that the Jezebel spirit must be unmasked so that the believer's heart does not get hard or seduced or deceived in these times. So how does this activity tie into the end times?
Yeah, you know, Lester Summerall said that in the end times, in the end of the end, that this Jezebel spirit would be one of the greatest opponents to the church. And we see that, you know, the woman rides the beast, Babylon. We see Jesus say, come out from among them and be ye holy. And I think we're really in a time in the body of Christ where we need to return to the message of the cross. We need to return to the message of dying to self. Paul said, I die daily. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives through me. I live for him. And I think that we have seen the church, really not the entire church, but portions of the church, segments that are backslide into this seeker-friendly, user-friendly message that we don't talk about the cross. We don't talk about dying to self. We don't talk about crucifying the flesh. And if we would live the crucified life, if we would, you know, decrease that he might increase, if we would submit ourselves one to another, if we would pay the price, so to speak, we would have a lot less trouble with the Jezebel spirit and other spirits. But, you know, Paul the Apostle said in the last days there will be, you know, lovers of money, lovers of self, you know, scoffers.
That's right.
And we're seeing that happen right before our eyes. So I truly believe, although it's not listed in the Matthew 24 signs of the times, I truly believe that the rise of the Jezebel spirit is a sign of the times. That is why I believe that Jesus pointed out this specific spirit in the book of Revelation, because he knew that the spirit would rise rapidly in the end times church. And part of the problem as well is believers are walking around wounded. They've got church hurt, whether real or imaginary. And we have to remember that the Jezebel spirit preys on those who are hurt and wounded. That's and right. We need to begin to heal as a body. We've been through COVID, we've been through loss, we've been through devastation, and we need to make our vessel a priority. We need to heal our hearts, like you know, Pastor was saying, we can't minister with the bleeding heart. And we've got pastors and pulpits who are Ahabs and Jezebels. And we have people throughout the body of Christ that have wrong perceptions of Jezebels. And so I believe this is a sign of the times, and I believe it's going to get worse and worse. But praise God, there is a remnant. Yeah. There That's are right. those Amen. Who will stand for Christ, even if it means dying for Christ. You know, yeah. if you go read Fox's Book of Martyrs, Believer. It'll mess you up. That's right. something I believe every Christian needs to read, because we're living in a time right now where it's anything goes. You can have anybody in the pulpit, whatever persuasion they are. It's getting very dangerous, and very this is dangerous. Truly the end, and Jezebel is truly taking advantage of it.
Wow. That's wow. right. Wow. You know, in preparation for this show, Pastor, I was studying, reading the notes, getting, you know, familiar with, okay, what is this Jezebel spirit? And I was sitting this morning in the bathroom talking to my wife, Brooke, and I said, you know, one characteristic that I see of the Jezebel spirit is it is narcissistic. Wow. It is not generous. Right. It is not a generous spirit. So I asked her the question. I said, well, you know, we want to ensure that we safeguard ourselves against the Jezebel spirit. We also want to make sure we safeguard our children, because believer, the Jezebel spirit will try to attach itself to your children as well. So I said to Brooke, well, how do we ensure that our children are generous? You know, it's the opposite of the Jezebel spirit. How do we make sure they're love to serve? They love to go out. And she goes, well, you have to walk the walk in front of them.
Yes.
Wow. You have to be generous. That's you have to show them. And I believe that, believer, we must walk the walk. We must pray that prayer that says, Lord, if I have been allowed to have the Jezebel spirit operate in me, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Amen. I cast that away from me. That's and right. I say, Holy Spirit, I simply want to walk where you walk. I want to use the words in which you would have me use. I believe that the Holy Spirit will honor that. But That's Pastor, right. how do we reject the Jezebel spirit if we have at one point in our life allowed it to be used through us?
Well, it doesn't mean that they're totally destroyed or they can't be used of God, because the truth is, if they repent, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Amen.
And the truth is, a lot of times those people that are operating in that Jezebel spirit have a sincere heart. They just are manipulated with the devil in a way that they don't even know it. And they think they're hearing from God, and it's not really the Lord. It's the devil that's taking them and taking their motives. And really, it goes back to the motives. You're talking about having a generous heart. Well, what is their motive behind what they're doing?
Yes.
And I remember years ago, we had a young church, and we just started it. And I had six families, and all six of these people were going through a divorce. Every one of them. But wow. When I finally met with each one of them and I got them all together and talked to them, I found out that there was one person that was a common denominator on all six families.
Wow.
So I brought them all into my office and I had them all sitting there. And I said, every one of you have one common denominator, and it was a Jezebel spirit. This one wow. person who had manipulated and twisted and turned and got them to fighting against each other and working, and they were causing division in the body of Christ. And so as we prayed and we surrendered and give our hearts back to the Lord, had husband and wife hugging each other and repenting and praying, there was a knock on the door of my office. I opened the door. Guess who was standing there?
Yeah. The Jezebel spirit.
The Jezebel spirit. Wow. The very person that had one thing in common with all six of those people. And I said, come on in. I put her right in the middle of the situation.
Wow.
And I put her a chair in the middle. And I told them, I said, this is your problem right here. Yeah.
Wow.
And I exposed it. She began to weep and cry. She had a tender heart over the things that she didn't realize that she was destroying all six of those families, but she was. And the thing is, she repented, and thank the Lord she did end up down the road in ministry, but her heart was right after she was exposed.
Amen.
And I think that a lot of times that people don't even know that they're being manipulated and not orchestrated, but their motive is the key. Find the motive of what you're doing. And it goes back to what you said about the fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. Yeah. Check out that
fruit tree.
We will
know them by their fruit.
And this lady had been hurt so bad.
Yes.
She was pouring that hurt on these other couples and literally trying to minister to them, but she was destroying their lives.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Jennifer, what are a few things that we can do to safeguard ourselves, our loved ones, our church, and even our nation against this spirit?
Yeah.
So one of the biggest strategies is purity. You know, if we walk in purity, if we walk in love, if we walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we will not walk in the Jezebel spirit. And I'll tell you something. I've never been one much to watch TV. For the first 15 years I was saved, I didn't watch TV at all. But then over time, I would check this out, check that out, check that out. On January the 13th, I made a decision to no longer, well, it was supposed to be a 90-day thing, to no longer watch anything unless it was edifying, inspirational, educational, motivational. Inspirational, educational, motivational. And I'll tell you what, I read the Word. I watch Christian television. I meditate on scriptures, read Christian books. And it's not even been 90 days. It is, and I wasn't even living in sin. I mean, I was on fire for God already. But I stopped eating at Jezebel's table. You know, I wasn't even watching anything that was wrong. And there's nothing wrong with watching TV. Let's not get religious. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with watching a basketball game or watching TV. But you can't even watch an innocent show on TV without commercials coming up that promote, you know, all sorts of sexual morality, drunkenness, you know, all of these, you know, Jezebelic things. So I think that we have to unplug from the world system. We have to be, you know, the peculiar people that scripture says we are. We have to stop eating at Jezebel's table. We have to stop letting our kids eat from Jezebel's table. Some of these big name kid movie makers, they have phallic symbols in their cartoons. They have innuendos, sexual innuendos in their cartoons. And our children are being sexualized. They're being perverted through the media and through the entertainment system. So I believe we are in the world and we must not be of the world. We must not allow the spirit of the world to infiltrate our souls, but we must be transformed by the entire renewal of our mind. So as for me, it's been about 2.5 months since I unplugged. And, you know, again, I wasn't watching anything foul, but I am more on fire than I've ever been. And I believe the closer we draw to Jesus, the closer we move to the Holy Spirit, the quicker we'll recognize these tendencies in others and in ourselves so that we can walk in freedom and be freedom bringers.
Amen. Jennifer, I believe, like you said, it's important for us to determine for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Pastor, you know, there are so many times where I will turn on something where I think, oh, this is innocent. I watched this as a kid. It was a pure-hearted cartoon show. And I'm watching the first couple minutes of it. And I realize, oh my goodness, by no means is this a pure show.
Right.
I'm like, okay, we're going back to claymations back in the 70s. No words. Yeah. They're just moving around on the screen. Pastor, how important is it for us to safeguard our children?
Oh, big time. You know, their eye gate is an open door. And whenever they open that eye gate, it penetrates their heart, and they'll even act out a lot of the things. Children, you know, I've worked with children's ministry for a number of years, and I can tell you this. You spend about 15, 20 minutes with them playing and let them play, because they always lay their guards down when they play, and you'll find the real spirit of that kid come out.
Wow.
You'll find out what they're made up and how they're made up by their actions of their playtime. Mm. And many of the times, it's not that mom and dad's bad. It's just the things like she said, Jennifer said, that they've been watching on TV or watching on the internet, or they're on the YouTube and all these kind of things, and it penetrates their mind, and it comes through the eye gate.
Wow.
And I tell you, the eye gate's huge.
You know what? What's so amazing is when I look at the spirit of Jezebel, I have to go back and realize what this characters look like, and how do we allow this to even take place? Mm-hmm. I think one of the areas is people are not stable. Mm-hmm. Instability will draw spirits like that to take over the authority that God has given us.
Yeah, being unstable.
Because unstable creates no commitment. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in its ways. People want to operate, yet they're not stable enough to stay long enough to see the fruit grow.
Wow, that's good.
People see it and think, oh, it's been green here all this time, but they don't understand that there had to be some stable farmers in the land to be able to sow the seed, be able to water the seed, plow the seed.
That's right.
I mean, there's a process, was what I'm trying to tell you. And you, I want to give you a word. If you want God to move in your life, become stable in your ways.
Yes. That's right.
Become, amen. Find stability. Stop running for a word here, a word there. No, the word has always been consistent.
Amen.
Yeah,
the word
right.
has always been stable, yet we haven't. You know, people that want to give you a word all the time, people that always want to follow their fruit. Most of the time, the people that always wants to give you a word are the people that are the most unstable folks in their life. People that are always trying to tell you how to run your ministry. They're never stable in their life. I want to give you a challenge. Find stability. And if that means unplugging from everything and find God, to commit to God, to become one-minded. The Bible says, amen. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, yes. but don't be in the maybes.
Amen.
Come on.
I believe that the hour for the church, if we're going to fight against the spirit of Jezebel, stop being double-minded. Find stability in your family, in your personal life. Quit looking for a husband. Quit looking for a girlfriend. Quit looking. No, be stable. God will bring it in his time.
That's right.
God will bring the word that God wants to give you in his time. And his words are not like our words, the Bible said. I believe that if we're going to start something, we got to learn how to finish something.
That's right.
Don't leave it unopened. Our Father has taught us, if you're going to start something, finish it.
Finish it. That's right.
That's right.
Finish it. And some of you have not finished things that God wants to, that has started for you, because you become unstable in your ways, yet you lost your way.
That's good.
Today's program, you're going to get an opportunity to finally lay it to rest.
Yeah.
Surrender to God. Whatever you're arguing with, yeah. whatever you're fighting against, whatever your desires are, whatever your needs are, let be today be the day where you surrender fully to God. The areas of your life, and find a closure in those areas so you can be healed.
That's
you know,
right.
years you know, ago, I was working in Tulsa, Oklahoma with a guy, J.W. Ellsworth. He was our pastor, man of God. And I can't tell you how many times I went in his office, tried to quit. I mean, truthfully, probably about every year. And he would not let me quit. And he would tell me, you need to go in the chapel and you get on your knees and you need to repent and pray, and then we'll talk. Well, when I go in the chapel and I begin to repent and pray, God would tell me the next step of what I was going to do and how I was going to take it to another level. And it always worked. And the truth is, how many times we get discouraged or frustrated or want to quit or want to give up or something like that. And the truth is, it's just we need to get back on our knees.
Yes.
We need to hear from the Lord.
Amen.
And I tell you, that Jezebel spirit, going back that, will operate and manipulate behind the scenes on the weary, the
That's
leadership,
right.
the pastors. He was talking about how do we know and how do we do that? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of pastors that are frustrated and tired and ready to throw in the towel, and that Jezebel spirit knows it.
Wow.
And they will take advantage of that leadership because they know that they can manipulate. That becomes an Ahab spirit, allowing them to do whatever they want to do. Just keep it going because they're ready to check out.
That's
and
right.
they need to repent and get things right with God.
That's right. You know, stability, I believe that is the key word that is being just used, stability. Believer, there is stability found in one place and one place only, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That is the firm foundation. If you want your feet to be planted and to be stable, to know that you're not going to be unstable in all your ways, you must have your relationship firmly rooted on Jesus Christ. You know, there's a wonderful story in the Bible where it says that there were two homes, one built on the firm foundation, one built on the sand.
Yep.
Now, the beautiful thing about this is that the same trials and tribulations came to both homes.
Yes.
The water rose on both homes. The wind blew on both homes. All of these things happened to both. One of them blew away. The one that was built on an unfirm foundation, an unstable foundation. If you've been to the beach, you know when the water hits the sand shifts. But if you know how you've seen concrete.
Right.
When water hits the concrete does not move. The Holy Spirit, your relationship with Jesus Christ, understanding that He is the only way to heaven is that firm foundation that you've been looking for.
Yes.
And if your feet shift to the left or right, I encourage you, dig your heels into the ground and say, I will not be moved.
Amen.
Pastor, we said at the beginning of the show we were going to do communion, so I think it's important to prepare that. Jennifer, it is wildly important that we as the believers, like you said, are unified. In these last few minutes, with just 4 minutes remaining, Would you pray for those who are watching and maybe under an attack by a Jezebel intercessor right now to say, you know, or that made me feel like, hey, maybe I am operating in a Jezebel intercessor spirit?
I'd be glad to. Thank you, Ricky. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just lift up all those under the sound of my voice that tuned in today, wanting to learn, wanting exposure, perhaps wanting healing. And I say in the name of Jesus, every Jezebel assignment against your mind, against your family, against your church is broken now. I decree and declare that no weapon that Jezebel has formed against you shall prosper in the name of Jesus. I put a cease and desist order on the Jezebel attack against your life. And we ask you, Father, to give us more discernment. Help us, Lord, to discern this Jezebel spirit in any way it manifests in the name of Jesus. Help us to root the Jezebelic expressions out of our lives, out of our ministries, and help us, Lord, never to fall prey or to cooperate with the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. In
Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor
Amen.
Communion.
Amen. Amen. You know, in 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, "And the teaching that I gave you is the same teaching I received from the Lord, that on the night that the Lord Jesus was handed over to be killed, he had taken the bread." And if you have your communion, would you get
it
ready?
We all have it here.
And he said,
Amen.
"And give thanks."
Thank you, Jesus.
And he said,
"Thank you, Lord, for your provision." Thank you, Lord.
I just feel like that the Holy Spirit's saying that there needs to be a time of repentance right now.
Wow.
Maybe you're getting ready to take communion.
Yes.
And if you're a situation where you need to repent and ask God to get things right. I just felt the quickening of the Holy Spirit say that you need to repent. And I don't know who that's for, but I'm telling you this, that this is a real thing.
Yes.
And we want to do it openly, but we want to make sure that our hearts are right before God.
Right. Amen.
And he said, "And when he took the bread, he gave thanks and he said, take this bread. This is in my body and this is to do for you. And this do in remembrance of me."
Amen.
And so when we take the bread, this covers us, and we do it as a remembrance of the things that Jesus did upon that cross for us. So, Father, right now, we thank you for the healing power that your body was broken for us, and we receive this bread today in Jesus' name. Would you partake? Amen.
Jesus' name.
After the same way they ate, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is a new agreement that is sealed with my blood at my death.
Amen.
And when you take this, you do this in remembrance of me." Shall we take together?
Amen.
And Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus.
The precious
we thank
blood.
You for your precious blood. Lord, it was great and more than enough. We can't add to or take away from what you've already done. And we just receive it now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Believer, you've just taken communion with us. And if you're saying, "Hey, I couldn't get my elements fast enough," it's okay. You go on video on demand, rewind this, and take the elements with us. It's wildly important that we are constantly and consistently reminding ourselves of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us. Why? Because when you have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, then you will truly be able to walk with the Holy Spirit and be able to unmask these Jezebel spirits around us. Jennifer LeClaire, I want to thank you for being on the broadcast with us today. What a blessing it was to have you. Remember, you can go to jimbakershow.com or give us a call at 1-888-988-1588. This book, I guarantee you, when you read it, you will not look at unmasking Jezebel's intercessors the same. I want you to remember this. God loves you. He really does.
Amen.
Bye-bye for today.
Amen.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Experience the wealth of knowledge from the Ready Now Expo right from the comfort of your home. Visit our website, ReadyNowExpo.com, now to gain access to exclusive seminars, workshops, teachings, and the roundtable discussions from The Jim Baker Show. Register today at ReadyNowExpo.com and unlock unlimited access to our exclusive content.
Join Jim and Lori Baker every day as they welcome anointed teachers.
Remember that God loves you.
Yeah.
He really does.
And the most dynamic personalities from around the world as we share grace and restoration.
Power over the gods. You know, the Bible says, who is like you, O Lord, among
you? You never know who's going to be on The Jim Baker Show.